Hi, everyone. Welcome to Earthmakers, Sacred Stories and Queer Spaces. My name is Johanna Baer. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm the grateful creator and host of this podcast. Take a deep breath. Settle in. This story is for you. Before we get started today, I wanted to just do a couple of reminders. One is that the Earthmakers podcast and spiritual community is run almost entirely by me. I am a clinically trained and spiritually trained spiritual director, interfaith and Buddhist pastor and storyteller. And everything that we do here at Earthmakers is by donation only. So you will see a link in the show notes for supporting the podcast. If you feel so led in this season of giving, please click on the link and let me know. I would love to keep building the community this year. I did some research through Spotify Wrapped and saw that the Earthmakers podcast in the year 2023 was played in 9 countries. And that is incredibly exciting to me. Also, we got a bunch of new listeners this year as the podcast continues to grow. And the way that we share what we do at Earthmakers is primarily through sharing links, word of mouth, social media. So if you like what you're hearing, and maybe you don't have the money to donate, just share. Share an episode with somebody that impacted you in some way. Secondly, I would like to remind you of the existence of a lovely and dear friend and inspiration of mine, Rhianne Lockard. Rhianne Lockard is the founder and creator and owner of Moonstone Witchery. Moonstone Witchery has a presence on Facebook. Rhianne does basically what I do. She just does it through a bit of a different lens. Rhianne is a witch, and she utilizes witchcraft and ritual magic to provide spiritual health and well-being to a lot of people. And she is just so wise and so compassionate and so incredibly lovely. I see Rhianne as a leader in the spiritual community. And she does some pretty profound work. I have been blessed by her presence in my life and inspired by her. I really look up to Rhianne as a hero of mine. And the Facebook page for Moonstone Witchery reads, "Welcome to the Witchery. Here you'll find spiritual community, conversation, and tools to help you on your journey of ascension. Blessed be." So if you're looking for a way to experience spiritual community and connection and new ways of being in the world, visit Moonstone Witchery on Facebook, or you can tap into the Moonstone Witchery podcast, which Rhianne hosts. And the more you connect with Rhianne and her witchery, the more you will learn something special about yourself and your story in this world. So today we're talking a bit about the concept, the spiritual concept of welcoming the stranger. And the question is, how do I welcome the stranger if the stranger means to do me harm or could mean to do me harm, right? On this podcast, we've talked before about the differences between hurt and harm. And harm is the thing we want to avoid, right? Harm is disconnection. It's a violence to our well-being, to our wholeness as individuals, as communities of people. And so we want to avoid harm. And as a transgender woman, I have seen firsthand some of the ways in which people can be harmed by others. So what about this very spiritual, very profound, and super powerful concept or practice of welcoming the stranger? And where does it come from? So first, a reminder, I was raised in a Christian community. My grandfather was the local pastor, and from a very early age, I was inundated with the Bible. I was inundated with Hebrew and Christian scripture. And then I went on to study the biblical canon as an adult. I studied the Tanakh, which is the Hebrew Bible. Part of what we typically call the Old Testament, although the Old Testament is only part of the Tanakh. And I went on to study the Christian New Testament, which was originally written in Greek and not Hebrew. And so I not only studied these texts, but I studied the languages that they were written in. I studied Hebrew, I studied Aramaic, I studied Greek. And they had this study had a pretty profound effect on my life. I love words. I love the origins of words. And I have realized, at least in our culture, that a lot of our hang-ups around concepts and ideas come from how we use or how we hear and experience words. Sometimes we have to do a little homework, do a little digging to find out the origins and the etymology of certain words so that we can be freed from our hang-ups, which I think is pretty cool. So welcoming the stranger is a concept that I grew up with. It is something that Rabbi Jesus of Nazareth, the figurehead of Christianity, talks about and kind of builds the entirety of his social gospel on in the gospel accounts in the New Testament. And my dad raised us to believe that the central, most important part of being a Christian was the compassion piece. That the compassion of Jesus is what we need to lean into. And different spiritual communities within Christianity will emphasize different parts of what's important. But in our family, it was compassion and it was peace. And those things are revealed not in our beliefs, but in our service, in our practice. The Greek word for practice in this case is praxis. And praxis is not just a skill or a practice, but it is an embodied practice of faith in the world. So if you have a spiritual belief, your praxis is how you live it out. Faith without praxis is dead, according to the book of James, or Yaakov in Hebrew. So my dad and my mom raised us to welcome the stranger, welcome the stranger, welcome the stranger. And I'll touch a little bit more on that later, but where does this concept come from? Jesus says in the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, that if we love him, if we love God, we need to practice certain skills. And these skills are things like clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, visiting the sick and incarcerated. That these are the things that show that we are followers of Jesus. Now, for Christians, it's about following Jesus. I mean, at least in theory. If you look at American Christianity, I know it may not seem that way these days. And that's a story for another time. But for Jesus, it was about following God according to the teachings and the law found in Torah and the prophets. Jesus of Nazareth was a devout Second Temple Jew. He was not trying to start a new religion. He was not trying to toss away or throw away Torah or the prophets. In fact, in order, I think, to understand the teachings and the life of Jesus of Nazareth better, we would do well to learn more about the teachings of Judaism and Hebrew scripture. When was the last time you picked up Torah or Tanakh or Talmud? When was the last time? Or have you ever? This is something to consider. With Christmas coming up and other holidays, maybe gift someone a Jewish study Bible. That'd be kind of fun, huh? So Jesus emphasizes welcoming the stranger. And the stranger encapsulates a lot of people, okay? So stranger or alien in this case comes from the Greek word xenos, okay? Xenos is where we get the word xenophobia. My adopted niece is named Xenia. And the word Xenia is referencing the welcoming of the stranger, and it's the feminine of xenos. So, xenos is not just referencing people that we don't know, or people from foreign countries. The stranger is anybody that is strange or alien to us. So this covers a lot of territory. This is, yes, people from different countries and cultures, but it's also people who are living in poverty, who Jesus spent a lot of time talking about. It's people who are disabled, sick. It is people who are LGBTQ2+. It's people who are BIPOC. It's people who have different gender identities and different ethnicities and understandings of how to live and be in this world, in this lifetime. A stranger is anyone, we could say, that you don't understand. I just don't understand that person. I don't understand why they do what they do. And the great spiritual teacher and Trappist monk, Thomas Merton, once said that it is not our job to determine whether or not somebody is worthy of love. It is only our job to love them. And I would go a step further with that. It is not our job, our task in this lifetime to understand others. Our task is to love them, to serve them. Okay? So stranger is an umbrella term. Xenos is an umbrella term. It covers all kinds of territory. And welcome the stranger is not a uniquely Christian idea. It comes from Torah. Welcome the stranger is the law of God. And the law of God is not embodied in what people believe. It's not embodied in faith. It's embodied in practice. It's embodied in praxis, in skill, in behavior, in a way of life and living. And although I am not a Christian anymore, I am endlessly fascinated by the disconnect that Christians in the American culture have with the teachings of Jesus. There seems to be just a general misunderstanding of the teachings of Jesus, which is not to shame people, but rather to invite people to do a little bit more digging, to do a little bit more talking, and to actually take the words of Jesus seriously. To believe that Jesus meant what he said. And whether or not you're a Christian in this case is immaterial. Because remember, these words are for all of us. And Jesus was not a Christian. Jesus was Jewish. And not just Jewish, devoutly so. So Jesus often taught in parables, and he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. That's one of his parables, and in the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. And in the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, he tells this tale of a Jewish man who is on his way to town when he is attacked by robbers. They beat him, they strip him, and they leave him to die on the side of the road in a ditch. They take all of his belongings and they run off, right? Not cool, right? And the way Jesus tells the story is that members of this man's community, well-respected Jewish members of this community, the doctor, the lawyer, and the priest all walk by him on their way to pray, and they do not help him. They turn away. They just keep walking. And then the stranger, the Samaritan, who the title is the title figure, someone who was considered not just a stranger, but even an enemy of the people of God, shows up and immediately recognizes that this man needs help and helps him, picks him up, takes him to a local inn, helps get his wounds dressed, gets him bathed, gets him food and drink and money and clothes, and does not expect repayment. Now, Jesus tells this story in response to a question that comes from one of his disciples, and the question is, who is my neighbor? Now, this question is asked because Jesus has just said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So this disciple says, well, who is my neighbor? Which is a really thoughtful question, because when I hear the word neighbor, I just, you know, think of the person next door. Or I think of the people in my community, in my direct community, or the people that I work with, or the people that I tend to get along with. In this story, Jesus says, welcoming the stranger is essentially seeing the stranger as your neighbor. And in this case, he's not throwing out the Jewish teaching of welcoming the stranger, xenos. He is turning it on its head. He's giving us a new way to think about it. So then, if there is no difference between stranger and neighbor, then everyone is my neighbor. And all I can think of is the tune by the amazing spiritual teacher and children's program host, Reverend Fred Rogers, Won't You Be My Neighbor? He's asking us, people that he doesn't know, to be his neighbor. We are strangers to him. Mr. Rogers gets it. Now, I've been trying to live according to this custom, according to this spiritual practice of welcoming the stranger and seeing every stranger as my neighbor for most of my life. I've been trying, and I have failed at it at times, I will confess. But there is that question that hangs over the practice of welcoming the stranger because we see them as our neighbor. Welcome the stranger because you were a stranger once too. Like, this is a beautiful teaching, and it makes sense to me from a spiritual perspective on paper. It is very challenging in real life at times. And one of the reasons it's so challenging is because I am trans. To some people, I am the Samaritan. I am the stranger, the foreigner, the alien, even the enemy. I represent an embodied disruption, discomfort, a challenge to people's way of life just by walking down the fucking street. like really, just by walking down the goddamn street, just by stopping at a coffee shop, just by showing up at work every day, I represent and embody some kind of threat to people. So as a trans person, I can talk all day about being the stranger, the alien, and how people don't welcome me because they don't want to, because my existence makes them uncomfortable. Which has nothing to do with me, right? It's everything to do with them, and I can't change them. But I can change parts of myself. And so I've noticed that the people that don't want to welcome me because they see me as the stranger are people that I see as strangers. They're my strangers, the bigots, the transphobes, the queerphobes, the Republicans, like the evangelical Christians, have become strangers to me now. A bit of a activation warning before this next part. I will be talking about assault and rape. So take care of yourself if you need to turn off the episode or revisit it later. Last year, in April of 2022, I was violently assaulted. And by a cis man. And I know that this happens frequently to people like me. And I was assaulted, I was raped, I think his intent was to kill me, but I got away, obviously, and survived. And now the trauma in my body, the new neural pathways that have formed in my brain out of fear are teaching me how to survive. So if I see a strange, there's that word, strange, right? If I see a strange man, my brain and body immediately put me on high alert. Now, I could blame myself and say, you know what, you're supposed to be seeing him as your neighbor. You got to figure out a way to love him and welcome him. But this is where I think we need to deepen our understanding of this teaching of welcome the stranger and welcome the neighbor. And it is this. If the stranger is always the neighbor, okay, I am also my own neighbor. I am also my own neighbor, my own loved one, which took me decades to see and understand. And I still struggle with it. Do you struggle with that? Welcome the stranger, because the stranger is always your neighbor, is not a black and white, hard and fast rule. In our attempts over the years in American Christendom to do things like welcome the stranger because the stranger is always my neighbor, we have neglected ourselves and our own health and our own wellness. And as I've said a million times, Jesus of Nazareth taught me, Jesus Christ taught me how to love others, and Gautama Buddha taught me how to love me. I need both, friends. We need both. There are people who mean me harm in this world and have caused me harm. I've lost jobs because of the lies and hatred of white, cis, straight women. I have had my reputation tarnished in certain communities because of being trans, because people have used terminology to describe me out of fear that is not reflective of who I am. And I know those things. I know those things. And true peace is knowing, is knowing that those things are not true, and knowing that I am my own neighbor. And there are people in my life who see that and who honor that. And those people are the people that I am safest around. So how do I welcome the stranger when the stranger could intend me harm or could intend me harm? Well, this is how the spiritual life works, my friends. We hold two things in tension all the time that are seemingly opposite. On the one hand, the need in our world for compassion, the need for empathy, the need to welcome people that we don't understand, even if they make us uncomfortable, and discomfort does not equal bad. And on the other hand, I need to make space every day to welcome myself, to welcome me, because I am also beloved. The beloved stranger and neighbor. So, in every situation, we tap into the spiritual practice of wisdom, and we weigh one against the other, and we say, in this particular moment and context, is welcoming this stranger going to bring me harm? And if so, I want to invite you to walk away. Thank you.